morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. Okay, son. We do have a few announcements this morning. We do want to offer our condolences to the family and friends of Reverend Cecil Eanes. As you know, he passed away on January the 25th. He was a part of this congregation for many, many years before he moved down to Georgia. And there was they had a memorial service for him this past week, and I can't remember which day, but certainly Cecil will be very much will be missed. As well, I do want to make you all aware that Fred Clifton passed away. He's the husband of Dixie Clifton and the brother-in-law of Barry Farmer. Both Dixie and Barry grew up in this church, and Barry's come back a number of times. Wonderful musician and organist, but he lives in Alabama right now. But the memorial service is this afternoon, is that correct, Charles? Yes? What? 1:30 today. Okay. In visitation. As well, we want to celebrate the birth of Abigail Ruth, the daughter of Lucy and Chris Hill, and the granddaughter of Sam and Becky Miedema, and the great-granddaughter of Alice Bradshaw. If you haven't seen her pictures on Facebook, she is a beautiful little baby. You can get someone to share those with you. If you're interested in helping with God's Storehouse Backpack Program, that will be on March the 7th at 4 p.m. The information in the bulletin says to call Nancy Wilson. Do not call Nancy Wilson. She is out of town. Please call the church office, and we will get you set up with that. As well, there's a fundraiser for God's Storehouse on February the 22nd. It's called Empty Bowls. It's $15 from 11 to 2 p.m. Tickets are available at God's Storehouse, Karen's Hallmark, and Commonwealth Home Care. Also want to point out the blue strip of paper in your bulletin. That is a reservation card for the men's breakfast. Want to invite you all to come to that. If you haven't been to the men's breakfast, don't worry. The lesson will pick up. You'll don't need the other lessons in order to jump right on in. It's a really interesting study that we're doing, and I want to encourage you all to join us and come out with that. Come out to that. Another announcement that's not in the bulletin, and this is a bit of a secret, so we don't want it to get out, but we do all want to be here for it. And I have to look around to make sure they're not here. On February the 20th, we're going to do something a little bit different at the Wednesday Night Supper. As you all know, Bob Ramey has been here and a part of this congregation for many years since he's moved back. And while he has not been a called minister to this congregation, he has certainly ministered to this congregation and to all of us. So, as you know, we have a hall. This hallway back by the chapel has all of our previous ministers' portraits on the wall. We would like to hang a portrait of Bob up on that wall, and we have the portrait ready and done, and it will be presented to him, and we will honor him that evening on the 20th. So please, let folks know, but don't tell Bob. Gail knows, but don't tell Bob. And we've also invited Holbrook Presbyterian and Williamson Presbyterian to join in with us because he has been a minister to them as well. I have good news. Jesus is alive and with us. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God. Thank you. Let's join together in our responsive call to worship found printed in our bulletin. I bow down and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you stretch out your hand and deliver me. Let us worship God by joining together in hymn of praise 151, Crown Him with Many Crowns. What Max said.
I'm not trying to take over. It was just left off the plane. Must have a tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the skies are shadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we fail?
Now let us join in hymn of praise 151, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Thank you. You may be seated. It is right and proper that we humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that we have fallen short of being the people that God created us to be. Let us join together in silence and confess our sins. Amen. Let us join together in the litany of affirmation. I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures.
By God's grace, I am alive.
Christ was buried and on the third day was raised in accordance with the Scriptures.
By God's grace, I am alive.
Christ appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then to more than 500, and to all called as apostles.
By God's grace, I am alive.
God's grace was not in vain, so we preach and so we believe.
By God's grace, I am alive.
Children may come forward. Well, good. Hello, Liam. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you guys awake? Good morning.
Good morning, Dad.
All right, that's a little better. So, who can tell me what is happening this week? Valentine's Day, that's right. What happens on Valentine's Day? You give chocolate, right? And a little baby angel flies around with a bow and arrow. And you get candy? That's right. But what Valentine's Day is the day that we show our... not special kind of chocolate, no. That's we show our... you guys, you said it, Benjamin and Michaela. What? Our love, that's right, our love. So I want to read a passage from the book of John, and it's John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. It says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." A lot of movies and a lot of stories make it seem like love is a feeling, and we start to believe or think of love as a feeling that we have of affection towards another, right? But love, as Jesus speaks of it here, is very different. And the secret is that we are to love, as Jesus, as he said, no, the secret is not chocolate. The secret is that we are to love, when Jesus, as Jesus says, to love as I have loved you. And that love comes from God and from having a good relationship with God. Jesus could love like that because of how close he was with God. And he couldn't help it because God is love. And as he grew closer to God, that love of God flowed out of him. And the same is true with us. As we grow closer to God, God's love flows out of us. And it's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. We see God's love when we give of ourselves to others, when we go out of our way to meet a friend's need. That's showing God's love. When we are willing to spend time with someone who's a Christian just because they're a Christian and not necessarily because you're drawn to that person, and you're willing to go out of your way and give of yourself and give up of yourself for them. You're laying down your life, or at least a part of it, for that person. That is what Jesus had in mind when he talked about love. It's not a feeling. It's showing God's love. So this week, when you hand out your Valentines and you eat your candy, remember to show God's love to others and to build that relationship with God so that love can flow right out of it. And remember to get chocolate, yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you love us, and we ask that you would help us to grow closer to you so that we could show others your love. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Speak, O God, for we are listening. Instruct us, for we are attentive and willing. Create us anew in your good pleasure, for we are the work of your hands, by the way of the living word. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even desire to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Immortal, invisible, all glory. Thank you to Heather and the choir for an inspiring anthem this morning. We now turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 5th chapter. The first 11 verses, and we hear once again the Word of God. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of one of them, and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is, once again, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, I've often wondered, what would I have done if I were part of Jesus' original 12 disciples? Would I have fallen down in awe at the teachings and miracles I saw and heard? Would I have followed blindly where Jesus had led, like the fishermen that encountered him that day? Or, more likely, would I have been as clueless as they seemed to be on a regular basis? Would I have been annoyed by what Jesus was asking me? I think that if I were in Peter's place in our story from Luke's gospel this morning, I would have been annoyed. Peter and Andrew and James and John were experienced fishermen. They had let Jesus use their boat to preach and teach from all day and night, and they had had a fruitless night of fishing. However, Jesus asked them to go deeper, go to the deeper water and fish some more. And I could just see the fishermen roll their eyes at Jesus. They may not have said it, but they certainly could have thought to themselves, "What does this guy know about fishing? This guy is just a carpenter. Doesn't he know that we're tired, that we're ready to call it a day?" Jesus could be a bit of a know-it-all. He told fishermen how to fish, preachers how to preach, religious leaders how to interpret scripture, ruling civil authorities how they should rule. None of those people he encountered until much later, if at all, would know that he was God's son. And they might have wondered when they encountered him and treated him with, it doesn't surprise me that they treated him with some scorn or threatened to harm him. We would have reacted in a similar way if he would have asked us to go further away from shore. Even though we know what is going to happen to Jesus later on, even though we know who he is, don't we more often than not question and doubt and roll our eyes at what we have been taught in Sunday school or heard in worship or read and believed for ourselves. Even though we have heard the good news and received it, and most of the time stood firm in the knowledge of Jesus, don't we sometimes question to ourselves, what does Jesus really know when he's talking to us? Does he really know what he's getting himself into when he's following that path laid down by his heavenly Father? Even though we know, because of people like Paul, because of people like the 12, all those other folks that Jackson read about who knew Jesus, who had lived his story with him, a story of salvation and what he had accomplished for the world, don't we sometimes think we could come up with a better ending than the one God writes upon our hearts? Too often our pride gets in the way of our accepting that invitation to go deeper, deeper in our relationship with God. Because God couldn't possibly know better than we know for ourselves what is best for us. Jesus invites us to go deeper in our relationship with him in so many ways. Sometimes it can take the form of asking a favor of us. In Peter's case, he asked a favor. He asked him to borrow his boat so he can go out and better teach the crowd. When he approaches the woman at the well, it's a simple invitation. He asked her for a cup of cold water. In our cases, maybe he just asked us to give some food to somebody who is hungry, or comfort to somebody who mourns the loss of a loved one. Maybe he asked us to visit someone who is sick or provide shelter to someone who is homeless. The invitations come sometimes in simple ways, a seemingly insignificant encounter between two persons might open up all kinds of possibilities that we could never have seen for ourselves. It all begins with a risk on Jesus' part. Peter could have rejected the invitation. God does this all the time. As Jackson mentioned to the children, it is coming up on Valentine's Day. And, you know, you think about the similarities between taking how Jesus takes a risk to love us and how we take a risk to love one another. Now, it has been quite a while, over 31 years ago, since I had my last first date. But it all started with a simple invitation. My next door neighbor gave me the phone number of a young lady that she had known all her life. She had gone to church with her for many years, and the young lady was a nurse, and she was very pretty, and she came from a good family, and her name was Ellen Scheib. And all my neighbor Thelma did was said, here is her number, you can do with it what you want. One little slip of paper that led to a telephone call, that led to a date, that led to a courtship, that led to a marriage, that led to a family, that led to a relationship that becomes deeper and more precious every day. One little invitation. Go out into the deep water, Jesus invites Peter, which leads to a miracle, which leads to a repentance of sin, that leads to a teacher-disciple relationship, that leads to a servant-lord relationship, that leads to a savior-believer relationship, that leads to a life filled with unexpected joy combined with service to others. And it all starts with a simple request, a simple invitation. In Simon Peter's case, a positive response brings with it a challenge to be part of a movement of God in reaching out to others. Like Peter's call to fish for persons, the outcomes are unpredictable. when people risk encountering each other across cultural boundaries or group boundaries or traditions, thereby moving themselves beyond stereotypes, it can lead to marvelous things. The invitation to put out into the deep for a catch provides a sharp contrast with our human penchant for the predictable and the routine. It is an invitation to venture into new ground or a new depth, but it also points to a challenge in mission, in ministry, for this church and for every generation. We are challenged to respond to the urging of God breaking into the human lives. In the case of Simon, here is the realization that the most profound, the most significant experiences of God and life are not to be found in the safe ways and the safe places. Simon obeys the instruction and is surprised by a catch that is overwhelming, so much so that he has to ask for help. Simon knows now that he's in the presence of someone who can transform his life as easily as he could transform his fishing luck. Simon realizes that one night has changed his life forever, and there is no going back. He has to leave his old life behind. He has to walk boldly into the future, but he has Jesus to walk beside. And so he does that by recognizing he's not worthy to be in the presence of the one who can accomplish this type of transformation. And he tells Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But Jesus knows now he has hooked his fish. And rather than writing him off, discouraging this flawed human being, Jesus reveals to him the potential that resides in him through his participation in the work of God. Jesus tells them, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Now, that phrase has always fascinated me. As I was investigating the Greek word translated here as catching people, I found that it means more than just catching some tasty something to eat. It's more than just luring people to be consumed or used up. Jesus is saying to Peter, "You will be taking, you will be saving men and women alive for the kingdom." John Drury reminds us that this verb used in the Greek denotes a rescue from death, a rescue from peril, not the capture of an animal. And so it is saying what is really has nothing to do with catching fish, but it is everything to bringing people to a saving knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ. The kingdom requires not dead fish, but fully alive humans, not creatures writhing in the last gasp of death, but people living the life of the good news in all of its fullness. What Jesus is saying has nothing to do with telling the fishermen how to fish. He is telling them about eternal salvation. And that is a topic that requires us to go deeper in our relationship with God than we maybe really want to go. We're going to have to listen to Jesus' words. We're going to have to learn them. We're going to have to live them. When we are telling others of the good news, we are not just trying to entrap them with kind words or deeds. We're not just trying to lure them with attractive programs. We are trying to nourish them rather than force feed them. We're trying to walk that line between rescuing them from the powers of death, but also giving them a life to live in the liberty of God's love. Now, I've always identified with this particular version of Jesus' calling of the first disciples, more so than Matthew or Mark or even John. In those Gospels, Jesus meets those four for the first time, and they simply drop their nets and follow him. I like Luke's version, where they've heard about Jesus. They've heard what he said. They've seen what he's done. They know for themselves how special he is. And so it makes it much more understandable when they drop everything and they follow him. In our time, it's no secret who Jesus is. But as with so much in our age, where you can gather all kinds of information on all kinds of subjects, the deluge of Jesus, of information about Jesus has in some ways led to a shallower understanding of him and what he has to say. It has led many to only dip their toes in the waters of faith rather than diving headfirst. We have become too comfortable with shallow faith. Our job as followers of Christ is like those first four fishermen that Jesus calls that day. We are to go deeper. He knows more than us. Rowan Williams put it well when he said, to say that we believe in Jesus is the equivalent of saying that we have confidence in Jesus about all things. Jesus is where we belong, the one to whom we belong. To know ourselves as those who belong to Jesus before we belong to anyone or to anything else is the beginning of a right understanding of discipleship. The last thing that needs to be said is that once you have accepted this knowledge of Jesus, then you have accepted the invitation to go deeper. Discipleship never ends. Our responsibility to help others never ends. So accept that invitation. Go deeper and find eternal life. Let's stand and affirm our faith, and we're going to do a little something different today. We're going to say the Nicene Creed instead of the Apostles' Creed. Let us profess together what we believe. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing hymn number 434. Today we are called to be disciples. Thank you. Before we pray this morning, do we have any other additional prayer concerns or joys that folks would like to share this morning? Say again. Kathleen Harris, right. She's having surgery coming up this week. Anybody else? If not, let us turn our hearts and minds to God. Lord God, we come to you each day with so many concerns, so many people that are on our hearts, so many things in our world that seem to need fixing, and we turn to you for answers, for guidance, for strength, for healing. Whether it be to bring about world peace or peace within our souls, peace within our physical bodies, or comfort for those who mourn. We reach out to you and we expect you to respond. We expect you to answer. And yet sometimes the answers seem far away. Answers seem delayed in some fashion, and so we ask that you would bring us patience, that you would help us to respond to your call to go into a deeper relationship with you, one that goes beyond simple wish fulfillment, to a faith that trusts in your guidance and strength, that relies upon your grace and mercy, that deepens our faith to the point where we cannot simply ask and expect it to be answered, but trust that your will, that your plan, that your presence is enough. Lord, we come to you with many in our hearts, some we mention here. Bring about peace in the midst of anxiety for Kathleen as she faces surgery this week. Be with the family of little Abigail Ruth. In the midst of their joy, help them to know of your love as well. Be with those who mourn the loss of loved ones. The family and friends of Cecil. The family and friends of Fred, and so many others, Lord, who at the loss of a loved one need your blessed assurance, need your everlasting comfort that although we pass away from this earth, we never pass away from your love. And so help us who miss our loved ones greatly to redeem our memories and to continue to show the legacy of love that they shared with us. Lord, we ask for peace in far-off places, in Togo and in other places, Venezuela, so many other countries and tribal conflicts that have led to destruction and have led to peace as a fleeting hope. Bring about your strong, sure guidance that brings people back together, that causes people to act in the best interest of all people, all classes, all races, all tribes, so that we can build a world, whether it be in these far-off places or here in Danville or here in this country, where all people people know and respond in love rather than hate. We ask that you would be with all those we mentioned here, Claudine and Amy, Lisa and Charles and Lib, Matthew, Diane, Martha Jo, Bobby, Gail, Beth and Bill, Dana, Frio, Ella, CB, and Sandra. Lord, hear our prayers for Jim, for Willem, for Mary and Tom, for Nolte, and all those who wish to remain unnamed. Whatever their need, whatever their greatest need, bring them answers to their prayer and the strong sense of your presence. Continue to be with Joe, with James, with Helen, with Diane, and with Jane as they continue to grow stronger. Be with all of our service personnel, all of our first responders, wherever they may be. Protect them, guide them, help them to continue to play their role in peace and justice for all, as well as safety. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and bind us together as your people, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for our lives, the invitation to follow you. Help us as we now respond with our tithes and offerings, and later on to respond with our very lives, that we may serve you with all that we have and all that we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And our final hymn is found on an insert, the pink insert there. I have decided to follow Jesus.